Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Heard of the Summer of George? It's the summer of Wilde and Tosh on tour, although I'm not on tour. I mean, I'll be somewhere other than the basement later, but it won't be where these two knuckleheads are. Addition. The Jair is gone, and the Packers are replacing him with Bo Melton? Addition. And the I feel like my facial expressions in the background of Brian Gutekunst talking yesterday have gone semi-viral. We don't need them to go any more viral than they have. Edition of Wilde and Tosh on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need. On the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Now, I didn't know that we were going to do some sort of big reveal here. But Chrissy, by the way, Chrissy Birdsall, our cousin sub of the day for Jesse. Cousin subs, we believe better. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning, Jason.
I didn't... Was this a secret? Did I miss a meeting? Because live...
Do you ever go to meetings, though?
I do. I was at the content call last week.
Okay.
I hear you're supposed to eat at them if you attend them in person. From beautiful American Family Field.
Oh, hey, look at us. Yeah.
The Woo! Dynamic duo.
Oh, God.
I don't know if they carpooled. I do know they're together in the broadcast booth. Jesse Nelson and the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Good morning, boys. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just got, this is not an understatement. We've been to some cool places. We've done a lot of remotes. I would say this was the best welcome I've ever gotten at a remote, ever.
Christian Yelich gave you his pants?
close. I think I'd rather have this than Yelly's pants, if I'm being honest.
Well, what happened?
Jesse?
So we walk in the booth here. We're in the press box at American Family Field. For those that are watching on the video stream, I'm going to move this computer around for a second. So this is our view of the stadium right here. We are like in one of the broadcast booths in press row.
I think this is where Dom
level.
Does the post-game show on WTMJ and on 100.5. I think that's this is where we always do the show. And we've done this now, I don't know, probably five or six times. A couple summers we did it a couple times. Last year we did not get down here. But we got down here and Jesse got here early, which A, was shocking. But we got here, 10 minutes before the show got
10 minutes, great. Wait, did you ride together or
we did not?
No,
separate cars today. Separate cars.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got here a little earlier than Tausch did, and I walk into the booth, and they've redone a couple of things here since we were last in the booth. So, number one, outside of the booth, it's all digital signs for who's in each one. So, like, the Brewers TV booth is a couple spots down. It says, you know, digitally, Jeff Levering, Bill Schroeder, Sophia Minner. That's pretty cool. Right next to that, the radio booth with Lane Grindle and Josh Maurer on the call on 620 WTMJ, 100.5 ESPN Madison. And then we get down to the booth that we're in, and usually it's just, you know, extra space. It might not be used for a Wednesday day game like this. Has the Wilde and Tausch logo right outside of the booth.
Wilde and welcome, Wilde and Tausch.
Pretty awesome.
So it's already like,
check that out.
It's
on the
already
video
like,
stream.
Man, thank you for it. Gosh, is it nice to feel welcome? That was awesome.
So that's outside the booth when we walk in. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. So I come in here, I turn on the lights, I start to get our equipment set up, and I turn to my left and look what we see on the wall. Right behind Tausch. That is a framed picture. Chrissy's got a great view of it on our video stream here, so I don't have to hold the camera up to it.
If you're listening on terrestrial radio, Tausch is giving Prince Fielder hitting tips in like
Should
a 16x20 photo.
Should we not be wearing cotton pants was the first thing that I kind of jumped out at.
So that is a framed picture here in the press box right next to us. Special. I'm guessing it's not up year-round. I'm guessing that's just for today. They took the extra step to welcome us with the framed picture of Tausch and Prince Fielder taking batting practice. And then I turn around.
Yeah, this is just it is ice cream on top ice cream cake.
And on the other wall, we've got another framed picture.
This
is on the opposite side wall if you're watching on the video show. This is Tausch in action in the cage taking batting
bombs. Hitting bombs.
Here at American Family
It looks
Family
to me like
Field.
The ball's right behind him, though.
No, that's not a ball, Jason.
You got to take one first, see what the batting practice pitcher's got.
Take it till his first strike. Well,
that's
great.
How about that welcome? Isn't that awesome?
As good as it gets. Yeah, it was really
so
nice.
So are you going to inquire, like, will they store those then for our next visit? Or are they going to send you home with them? Like, what? This is amazing.
Much like I took CeCe's pants.
Oh,
I don't know what I'm not going to steal it.
He's going to smuggle
would
it.
I love
Tuck
the,
it under his shirt.
Do I want the picture of Prince and then eventually find a way to get him to sign that? Yes, I do. So it just awesome. Like I could not have been – it was a nice drive down. I wasn't driving with Jesse. It was just – it's going to be a beautiful day. And this was just a beautiful welcome. So thank you to the Milwaukee Brewers for being so welcoming to us.
Well, I will be at Packers minicamp. Otherwise, I would have enjoyed coming down and doing the show with you there. I guess I would have had to email Brewers PR the photo of me with Jim Sundberg getting my picture taken on picture day, or maybe me sitting on Larry Sorensen's lap in 1979 at a Gimbel's. But that's awesome. And thank you to the Brewers for making us feel welcome in the booth. It is a Brewers game day. Jesse, are you holding out any hope that given your relationship with Jeff Levering on the TV side or with the radio announcers that now you can be heard, that are heard on 100.5 ESPN Madison and, of course, 620 WTMJ, that maybe since Tausch got his pictures, you'll maybe get like a half-inning invite to come into the booth and, you know, do some of the light work of calling a few batters.
I'm always waiting for when the time calls, Jason. You know that.
Going to the left-hander out of the pen kind of a thing.
I was thinking on my way in. So, you know, my dad was an usher here at American Family Field.
I have never heard that before.
For a while.
Yeah, that's interesting.
This was the first time we've done the show here that walking in, I've had something crossed off my bucket list, which was sliding down Bernie's slide. We got to do that last September before the playoff run. And so I thought, what's next on my Brewers AmFam Field bucket list? Because like I've done that now, and that's been it since I was a kid. And so I decided I know what the next thing is. I want to play the organ.
Oh, you're good at it.
That's the next thing I wanted. I want to play. I don't know where the organ is. I don't know where they keep it. I don't know.
I would think it's got to be out in left field, right?
I'm going to go try and trek around and find the organ. That's the next thing on my Brewers bucket list. I want to play the organ in the stadium.
There you go.
I love that idea. I love it better than you calling a half inning.
Well, I like that idea, too. I'll take a full game if Levering's under the weather.
I also love it better, but I'm more morbidly curious, given that you have proclaimed yourself capable of playing an inning at second base for the Madison Mallards, do you believe that that translates to the major league level?
No, no, no. Big difference, Jason. Big difference. Northwoods League, you're still up. You're not even a single-A baseball player at that point. These are still college kids. And I'm just saying, for one inning, I can get away with playing second base for
if
the
no
Madison
balls
Mallards.
Hit
yeah, a major league baseball game, that's absurd. That would be a ridiculous absurd. There's a lot of innings that the second baseman doesn't do anything, so there's still a chance it would work out. But I wouldn't proclaim that the same way I would for a Northwoods League team. The Madison Mallards, the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders, the Kenosha Kingfish, or anybody in between. I could easily play second base for one inning for one of those.
The Lakeshore Chinooks.
That would also qualify, yes. Yep, yep. All those would suffice. I'm trying to think. The Kalamazoo, whatever they are.
Tigers.
Good one.
Mudhen? No, Mudhens is somebody
else.
Tigers.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's nothing going on the field right now other than grounds crew work.
Tausch's favorite activity. They are watering the dirt.
They're good. Field looks great. The doors aren't open yet, but the roof is. Be a good day. Be a nice day.
Looks very nice and sunny out there. All right. Well, we'll see how distracted you guys are as you call. You don't call the game, but you'll be doing the show from the booth. Tausch, one thing never changes, no matter where you are, no matter where I am. We're always going to talk about our love of Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Indeed, and it is time to upgrade your windows and doors, and you don't want to spend a fortune? Well, Pella, the best in the industry, has a product line for every budget. Right now, you get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years, so if the plan is to wait, well, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments for up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends June 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Now, scheduled to appear on today's program, it is Wednesday, so it is a Brian Bulaga Wednesday. It is not a Homer Wednesday. He's not going to join us today. Do you have anyone else lined up?
I think Churio
lined
had a home run last night. Is that why he's not coming on? You wanted to trade Jackson Churio. He had a home run.
Did he take
last
a walk, though?
So I think Homer said, I'll probably wait till he has a tough day and then we'll come back on.
Bill Schroeder of the Brewers TV network is scheduled to appear as we get into the 11 o'clock hour of the show.
All right. So no Jackson Churio, no Pat Murphy. Are you going to go down and talk to Pat Murphy and say either, I'm sorry that I questioned whether you should be on the hot seat?
I am going to put Jesse on the hot seat. If we get a chance, I am going to introduce Jesse to Pat Murphy, and then I will bring that up and just see what Pat has to say.
And will you bring it up as I'm wondering if it
well,
might
Jesse,
be better to say.
How would you want me to bring that up?
I don't want you to bring it up.
You said you'd say that to his face. You did say that, and I was actually setting you up for this day.
Yeah.
And now, if this does happen, which I probably would be inappropriate on my part, an hour before the game to do that.
Yeah.
Will I do it? Yeah. If I feel the motive, like the mood and the motif is right, I would do that.
I don't even want you to bring it up to Bill Schroeder because it's still not what I said. I never said I wanted Pat Murphy fired. You construed
but
it
you
to
didn't
be that.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
All I asked at Pablo's birthday
I had nothing to do with any of this.
When the Brewers were – oh, you had everything to do with it. All I asked at the birthday bash was when they were in a bad slump, couldn't score any runs, under 500, fourth place in the division. I said, at what point do we think about having a conversation about Pat Murphy? That's all I asked. And you would have thought I was trying to burn down the franchise and move to Indianapolis.
No, you just wanted Pat Murphy fired. That was all.
I didn't want him fired. I don't want him fired. I think he's really a great manager. He's the reigning manager of the year. Yeah, nobody wants him fired.
It's funny how quick things change when you get a couple of cans of Sprite and you're, you know, it's not bad. You get welcomed in nicely. All of a sudden, your whole mood changes.
Get to play the Oregon.
I prefer Starry myself, personally.
I think you should introduce some Pat. I just wanted to introduce you to Jesse. He wants to say you're welcome for lighting a fire under your team by publicly questioning your ability to manage this ball club.
It is quite the coincidence that that's when things turned around, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Quite the coincidence.
It is a coincidence. Yeah. All right, we will hear from a variety of folks that spoke yesterday at Packers minicamp as the first practice is in the books. They will practice again today and tomorrow. Meanwhile, Jesse and Tausch will be at AmFam Field for today's game. As Jesse mentioned, not only will we have Brian Bulaga coming up at 9:30, but also scheduled to appear our good friend Bill Schroeder from the Brewers Television Network. That's all still ahead, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch. Tausch rolls on with Jesse and Tausch. Welcomed, a hero's welcome to AmFam Field. What is that? What are you doing? Are you dancing?
I realized I was out of the frame, so I pulled in. Like
you did like the Collinsworth slide. Yeah, that's nice. Packers did have the first day of their three-day minicamp yesterday. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers' first day of work with the Pittsburgh Steelers gained a few more headlines, including his mysterious unknown wife, which people were reacting to on social media. People were also reacting to my skeptical facial expression when Goody talked to us in the middle of practice.
Did you text old boy congratulations on his nuptials?
No, I texted him and said, I hope your first day at your new job went well. Again, I don't know. But there was a lot going on at Packers practice. We'll get into some of it with Brian Bulaga coming up. But among the things that we discussed, Matt LaFleur talked after practice. We had a couple of back and forths yesterday. Here is one of our exchanges after practice.
Hey, Matt, yesterday Mark Murphy said that in some ways the plan without Jair is so much that is there something to that? That there's, you know, you got to see these guys as much as you did, that you know what it's like playing without a guy who was your number one court. Like, is there actual value in that, or is it just sort of a?
I mean, yeah, I think that can be the case with. I mean, it's football, right? There's things that happen, and you've got to be able to pivot and adjust, and you know, maybe whether it's game plan wise or just guys going in there and picking up kind of where the other guy left off. So, but that's just the nature of the beast.
He was obviously so good as a man-to-man cover guy and taking another one flat out. Did the guys that you have fit better what you and Jeff want to do from a coverage standpoint, or at least?
Well, I think the first thing you always look at from a corner is can they play man-to-man? And if you got it, but it's not just, you need multiple people that can play man-to-man. So it's, whether it's safeties and backers, I mean, there's always, you know, matchups that you got to account for. So I would say, but one of the first things that you look at when you're evaluating a guy is their ability to go out and play man coverage, because that's arguably the toughest thing to do.
So I basically went 0 for 2 on getting actual answers there.
Yeah, I was going to say that was I don't think your questions were long enough, if I'm being honest. You went too short, and he just gave you kind of curt, like, sure.
Not as short as my question about how good he feels about having the same three specialists back, and his answer was very good. And then there was a long, awkward pause before I said, well, why? But, Tausch, my point is that this idea that, oh, they're used to playing without Jair. Goody made the comment yesterday that they feel really good about having three starting caliber corners in Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs, and Keyshawn Nixon. The idea that, well, they want to play more cover three zone, and Jair's a man-to-man guy, so it's not really that big of a... That felt like a lot of spin to me, and I thought the way that was kind of handled by LaFleur yesterday with those questions just confirmed that they're obviously interested in making this seem like not a big loss, and I'm not sure if that's actually accurate.
Well, they didn't have him for most of the last season. So
10 games.
I think that's most of the season. So when you start looking at it, I think everybody thought they studied Jeff Hafley. Oh, he's aggressive. He's going to do this. And good coaches, you're not just tied in. You have your foundation, but you're not just tied into your system. You have to adjust to what your players are best at. And I think that's what he's trying to tell you. If you're going to have the greatest shutdown corner of all time, but you still have to make sure that your other guys can cover. If you're going to do that, that means you're going to play more man. You have to have two or three other guys and linebackers that can do it, or people will pick you apart. There's a reason people didn't throw at Deion, and I think Jair Alexander, and I'm not comparing him to Deion Sanders, but in 2020 he was a big boy player.
Mm-hmm.
Stats from again, I don't know who the dude was on Twitter, but it was remarkable to look at. And that was the goal. I think that's what you were hoping. And obviously things happened and you couldn't continue to do that. You now look at it and you say, can the sum of all of our parts be better than just having one, stud shutdown? And you have a bunch of guys that are kind of average. You find ways to work within your system, and that is what you're going to end up trying to find, guys that complement each other that can help make this defense as aggressive and as turnover, hunting as you possibly can. That is what the goal of this thing is going to be, and they did that last year. Jair, we all know that if Jair was healthy, it'd be awesome to have him. He'd be a great chess piece that you could utilize.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you lost your knight, man. Now start playing with your rook and start playing with your bishop, and you still got a king, queen. You still have other pieces. Don't just tip the chessboard over and say, oh, we don't have a knight, we can't play anymore. No. Get your blank out there and figure it out. You start using your pawns better and start using, if you got a castle, if you got to do some different things, go for it, figure it out. That's where Jeff Hafley has to be the chess master. He's got to be Bobby Fischer. You don't have your knight anymore. Deal with it. Figure it out. Everybody pouting and crying about it. All right, it's over. Move it along.
Okay, the castle?
You know castling? It's where you can flip-flop. I think it's your rook and maybe a bishop. It's the end piece, the rook, and then you move it to another piece, and that can be your move. You can be, rip, I'm going to castle.
It's a rook and a king.
Rook and a king. There you go.
Thank you, Chrissy. I have no idea what he's talking about.
You're, no offense, you're more of a checkers guy probably. Would be my guess, right? I said no offense.
I don't think it's going to be quite a day. I don't think anyone is saying that you're tipping over the chessboard and saying game over.
Here's where I was on with KBN yesterday, and I think they're doing this now just to to rile me up.
Uh-huh.
But they are literally they're trying to say that Goody doesn't want to win a championship because they let Jair Alexander go, and I'm looking at it saying, if you want to make an argument, say there's $46 million in cap space that should be getting used, I can have that conversation. But to sit here and say because somebody they knew was not coming back and they went and picked up, according to you, a physical slot corner for $10 million, the Jair scenario, we knew he wasn't coming back. There was these other reports, Schrager and others, saying, I don't know, he might be back. And then you get this hope back that you're going to have 2020 Jair Alexander back. Guys, Jair Alexander's 2020 season was phenomenal. That's 30 years ago in my books. 30 years ago.
All right, last thing on this so we can get to Bulaga. So are you as enamored or confident in Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, and Carrington Valentine as the general manager seemed to be yesterday, talking about them in very high regard and saying we have three starting caliber guys, they've started 95 games. He did sell them as, hey, we don't need to go out and get someone else. We're good at corner, even though after those three guys, they got a bunch of guys who've never played in the league. Like, yeah. Barely played any snaps whatsoever. Gregory Jr. has 111 defensive snaps in his career. He's the only other player on their roster at corner who has played a regular season defensive down in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. No, I think to question if you have a number one corner is fair. I know Keyshawn Nixon wants to be that guy, and you can go back and look, and again, I've said this all week, I think we all have overemphasized that playoff game against Philly. I know I have. I have forgotten until that picture shows back up in my head of Kevin O'Connell smiling, watching Sam Darnold get doused in his locker room, torching the G&G. So, do I believe Goody is completely content with what he's got? I think he is saying all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was a great corner that became available and was available for the G&G to pick up, he'd be here tomorrow. And that's why you got Bo Melton playing DB, and that's why you're doing other things. So I respect the fact Goody's saying all the right things, but actions, about actions, boss, and about words. And the actions would say, we'll see. We hope. But to have supreme confidence, you want to have supreme confidence in your guys. They want to be better. And for certain, they want to be deeper. They don't know what they have with Kalen King and Micah. There is an unknown, which you have to let play out.
Mm-hmm.
But the argument would be, is there somebody out there that you think could come in and help? And I am not in the Jalen Ramsey camp. I would have rather had Jair come back. And I'll be curious what the rest of the league feels about Jair Alexander and where he ends up going and how much money he makes. Because I still believe, and I saw Matt Bowen's piece on him yesterday, still very good reviews, again, when healthy.
Hmm.
This would have been an awesome thing to keep Jair to help and not bank completely on him. But I can assure you, I think everybody would feel better if Jair Alexander was still the number one corner on this team. That secondary room looks a lot better.
No doubt about that. All right, we got to talk to Brian Bulaga. We always love that on Wednesdays. Want to remind you, whether it's the Damian Lillard trade story, whether it's behind the Bucks and talking about Bucks and Six and Brandon Jennings' life story, whether it's their experiences in the Olympics or it's Giannis's documentary, all those stories are told in a unique manner on the Behind the Bucks podcast presented by Gallagher. Right now, you can find it on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Brian Bulaga, Iowa, joins us next. Wildy and Tausch.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none.
You know what that music means.
Here in this big city,
time to talk to our famous friend.
It is Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch. Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How's it going for you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, there we go.
I'm great. Question off
you
the top.
You're sleeveless today, huh? Showing those big old guns.
Sun's out, guns out. Yeah.
Look at you.
I literally just got from a workout. I had to get it all in. Sorry, I didn't get to change for you. I'm sorry. I didn't get.
Hey, man, you look good, dude. You got those guns. Let those guns breathe.
Can we get a flex?
Yeah, flex it
no.
up, big fella.
No.
Come on.
Blue. What are you, chicken?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so party pooper. Brian, yesterday, and look, I will acknowledge that, and Tausch points this out fairly frequently, I tend to maybe overestimate the talents of players that I like personally. It's a flaw of mine. I recognize it. That's why I thought Tausch was such a great player. Hey-o! But Bo Melton is playing corner along with special teams and wide receiver. And the normal thought process in my brain is when they start moving you to different positions, it's a precursor to them moving you out of the building. I don't want to believe that's the case because Bo is one of the really, really good humans on this team. And Matt LaFleur admits publicly that he's one of his favorite players. I just love everything about the guy. And he is a critical special teams piece. With all that said, A, what did you think when you saw this? And B, if Mike McCarthy had come to you and said, Brian, we've tried out Gooch at left guard in a playoff game when we were down a few men. We want you to go both ways. Where would you play?
In the Dom Capers defense, I'd probably be a four tech. I'd probably be a punch and read long guy. Hands. You know, yeah. I mean, longish, not really long.
Not for
longish.
A tackle.
I'd have to overextend myself at times, which is okay. I mean, hey, you know who did it for a long time and was pretty good at it was Dean Lowry. And Dean Lowry didn't have the longest arms either. So like, and Dean did pretty well for himself. Mm-hmm. So I would probably be a four tech. That would probably be my because I'm not heavy enough to play the nose. I'd get moved out of there no problem. Too tall too. But that's
certainly
probably
not
where
anymore.
Yeah, I'd get killed. That'd probably be where they'd have to put me. But when I saw that yesterday, I when I was scrolling through my phone, I literally laughed to myself because I don't get it. Like the news comes out, Jair's released, and then bang, right there, Bo Melton is playing corner or getting tried out at corner. Like that, like come on, like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like a like, hey, don't worry, we have Bo Melton to play corner now. He's going to get a shot at this. Like it's not, it makes no sense. To me, is what it sounds like is they know that wide receiver room is getting pretty full, right? Like you only carry what, five, maybe six max, right? Like
they carried seven at times. They did carry seven at times, and they won't have Christian Watson until sometime later in the year.
I don't know, man. I watched Watson throwing that med ball around on that bad leg. He's 6 months post-surgery.
Okay, so like, okay,
I don't know, Jimmy.
But Jason, let's like look at the numbers now, right? Like the offensive line is going to carry more this year just based off of draft picks and who they've kept. Right, like so, the O line's going to carry more than they did last year, no matter what, just on who they've drafted, who they currently have. It's just and who they've picked up in free agency. Like they're just going to carry more guys on the offensive line, which you got to cut numbers somewhere. Numbers have to like it has to balance out somewhere in some way, shape, or form. And carrying seven wideouts every year is just. It's just kind of a wild number. So, listen, I guess the more you can do, but playing both ways and being a wide receiver for the last how many years and saying, hey, go play some DB for us when you haven't played DB, I just don't understand it. I don't think it's a fix for losing Jair. Like, it doesn't make much sense to me.
The timing wasn't great, right? Because it does open you up to the jokes of, well, they've decided to replace Jair with Bo Melton.
Yeah.
So I agree with that.
Like it's just, and listen, like I know that's not the thought. It's what it looks like, but like
right.
I don't like that transition has never worked out for anyone in the NFL. Like you've been a wide receiver for the last 3 years. Now let's go play some DB. Like it's never worked. Like I don't know. I guess someone, as Homer always says in the Institute, please go check that for me. But like, there's no way that's ever worked. But like, so like, I don't know. Like I mean, listen. I hope for him, for Bo Melton, that is. Like I hope whatever he does, I hope he gives it 110% and it works out for him, and he's able to show that he's able to do multiple things, so he's able to retain a roster spot. Obviously, he's very valuable in special teams. It's putting him in a bind, right? The kid in a bind, because obviously his talent level, he's been able to stay on the team from a special team standpoint and a wide receiver standpoint. Now they're kind of pulling the wide receiver role underneath him and putting him in a DB standpoint where he hasn't played much or at all, technically, and saying, hey, now you got to try to make this club from a DB standpoint and a special team standpoint, and that's tough. And it's kind of a low percentage, you know, opportunity besides the special teams thing, which he's obviously very valuable at. It's a head scratcher, put it that way.
I look at it the opposite way. I think if they didn't care, it'd be like, all right, you can try it and we'll keep you, maybe, maybe not. But the fact that he's a valuable special teams guy, the fact that he's a willing blocker and one of the, you know, him and Heath are kind of, that's their role on this team. And then, not saying, again, that he is going to be lined up against Amon St. Brown on opening week, but you can get better. And I think they like his speed. They like his talent. And maybe he can, in a pinch, when there's injuries in a game. You know how valuable it is when you're in that. And as an old lineman, they dress 7, sometimes 8. You better be able to snap the football. If you want to be lock stock, not worried about Matt Klein coming over to you Sunday morning saying, yeah, you're not up this week. You better have a very diverse set of skills if you're not one of these starters. Mm-hmm. So I look at it this way, and I think this is from this, Matt LaFleur really likes him. What can we do to keep this young man on the team? What can we do to keep him? And this might be that. This extra layer of what you can do, whether it's coming in and playing a safety spot, whatever it would be, if somebody gets injured, that might be the thing that keeps him on this team. In the fact that he's so willing to do it, they already know what kind of dude he is. He does that. I look at it as, it's not the, oh boy, you'd much rather say, hey, he's going to be the fourth wideout. But after the draft, you realistically, you know, that's not going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're right and Brian's wrong. I'm not
sure.
Think Bo
Melton ain't making his, you don't think Bo Melton's making his team?
No, I want to believe. No, I want to believe that he is, because of everything you said. The coach, the special teams coordinator, the head coach, both want him on special teams. He was the first one during 2023 to have a 100-yard receiving game. We've seen him be a productive receiver.
Yeah.
He feels like a guy that you want to have around. You don't want him to be your number one corner. You don't want him to be your number one receiver, but you want to have him on the team. And also, for a team that, you know, we keep hearing about leadership, you can be, if you're a Bo Melton guy with his personality, I mean, we talked to Tucker Kraft about him yesterday. We talked to Jordan Love about him. There are those guys on the team that aren't the, you know, franchise left tackle or the starting quarterback that can be valuable in the leadership structure. Tell me if I'm wrong, Brian, but there's a value to that too. So I want to believe that this is a, hey, the more you can do, we want to keep you anyway, and we want you to give us one more reason to keep you. But the truth of the matter is what Brian said. Very rarely, I mean, maybe they just saw Travis Hunter and said, hey, we need us one of those. And Bo Melton, whose brother's a corner in the league, was the first guy they thought of.
Yeah, I mean, like, Tausch, like, I get it. Like, I'm like, dude, I'm so there that they want to keep him, and they want to find, like, more reasons to keep him. Like, I get it. Like, they like him. And, like, I that's what I'm saying. I liked him at receiver, and I liked him on special teams. Like, that's why, like, seeing him out practicing at DB the other day, like, I kind of laughed at it. And the timing of it made me laugh at it even more. Like, I don't understand, because now, like, we talk about it with Travis Hunter, too. Like, I get he's the first pick or second pick, whatever it was, and they traded for him. Obviously, he's making the team no matter what. Been doing. Right? Like, how is he showing that he is going to be valuable besides, obviously, his special teams contributions? When he goes out and practices and trains, and what's he doing? Is he playing defense? Is he playing offense? What's he showing to compete against other guys in spots that he is more valuable than this guy in this position? and giving his best foot forward? Because as you know, in training camp, is he going to run routes against these guys or is he guarding these guys? And is he going to be gassed guarding these guys or is he going to be gassed running routes against those guys? Mm-hmm. And like, that's a tough thing to do in camp. Like, it just is. Like, and then when he goes in, you know, the joint practices, he's going to be running back and forth from, you know, one team to the next team to the next. Like, it's just going to be difficult for him to do. Like, that's the only thing I'm concerned about when it comes to just him personally. Like, it's just a tough assignment. Like, that's really all I'm saying is, like, it's a tough ask for a guy to do that now in year what? He's in year three, right, Jason? Am I not mistaken on that?
He's a third-year player. I think he actually, his first year, he didn't get credit for his rookie year because he wasn't on a roster. I will say this, and then we'll take a break and spend some more time with Brian. I have never seen a player in all my time. I've seen guys change positions. I've never seen a guy take reps with the number one offense and the number one defense in the same drill. Maybe Charles Woodson did that at some point in an in-season practice that I wasn't allowed to watch.
He didn't.
But I had never seen that until yesterday. And even Tucker Kraft.
Covering himself? What are you talking about? You can't be at both places at one time.
Right. He took a snap at wide receiver, and then the next snap he took a snap at corner. They finally got him a green penny, so he wasn't the only.
Is it penny or penny?
Penny? Penny.
Penny. No, I think penny. It's penny.
I think it's penny.
Blue, is it penny or penny?
Penny.
Penny. Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's penny. It's penny. Okay. Look it up.
I always thought it was penny like the pasta.
I thought it was penny. It's
penny like the coin that's going out of business. But the bottom line is it's not. To sit here and ask, he's not going to play Verona High School. Like he is. This isn't a high
love
school.
Love the Wildcats, though. Good
such
team.
A freaky athlete that you can go do it. You're not. It's to expect him to be a number two or three corner when he's never really played corner, probably since high school. It's absurd to ask him to do that. These are pros. And pros spend hours on hours on hours doing it. That doesn't mean he can't get there, but it is a long road to do that, especially for somebody that has not done it at the pro level. Or, correct me if I'm wrong, I do not know his college career like you do. If he didn't do it in college either, you're looking at 7 or 8 years where he has not gotten in a back pedal and flipped his hips. And like that, to me, is... You're insulting the position if you think that he can do that quickly.
I'm hoping we'll talk to Bo today. There is no indication that he ever played
it
at Rutgers.
Bo knows corner play.
It's almost like you read my story on channel3000.com as I dropped the Bo Jackson reference in the headline as well. More with Brian Bulaga, who, like Bo Melton, can do it all. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Brian Bulaga on Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know.
Continuing with Brian
in this big city we're in.
As I always tell you, I hope you never suffer an injury, but if you do, and you need legal representation, there's one call to make. One call, that's all. Gruber Law Offices, 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website gruber-law.com. I am not going to call David for representation on these two football players who I would never tell how to set in a pass set what words are words and what words aren't words when it comes to a penny.
Now we're gonna trust Wikipedia for everything. Okay.
It's not. Why can't you trust me?
Good luck.
I trust
good
you
luck.
When it comes to football. Why can't you trust me when it comes to words?
You
that's my milieu.
I want you to question me. So I have no problem being questioned. In this case, we called them pennies and we played.
I'm not
you can
questioned.
Call them pennies. That's a soccer term. That's not a football term. Truth.
Neither.
Yo, grab that penny, though. All right, we'll do it.
Just because you said the wrong word doesn't make it then the right word. But
I didn't say that. Okay, I'm not going to get into the milieu with you. Blue, what do you think of Elgton Jenkins' decision to come up and not do anything? I think it's exactly what he should do. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's the right move. Like, I think it's the – like, we talked about it last week. Like, you know, you and I, we kind of went through the what did we do? Kind of we acted it out a little bit.
And Jason, yeah. Jason, like, is blanking on my role play, and then I told him to go ahead and do it, and then he's, oh, stop pouting. That was like a little quick synopsis of what happened.
Exactly.
We walked.
I was wearing a pennant,
but he never critiques anything I do. Okay. You want to role play?
Yeah,
again?
We walked.
Hey, Brian, what do you think, man? I'm going to go up to camp. I'm not going to do jack. What do you think about that move?
I think it's I think it's what he should have done, right? Like, he's showing that he does want to be there. He wants to be around the team. He's under contract. I mean, so that's obviously one thing, and he's honoring that part of the deal. Obviously, he does not want to be fined. He's missing out on a hefty workout bonus. So if he were to miss
104K, he would be getting fined 104K.
Yes.
If he hadn't shown up.
So that would bring the total up to 604K of money missed out on or lost, which is a lot of money in an off season to lose, right? Like, to call it what you want. Like, I'm sorry, that's a bad off season to me. that sounds like a bad couple months, no matter what you think of the market going on right now. I think it's a good move by him. And you know what? I think for him, you know, with whatever negotiations are going on, if there are any negotiations going on, if there's any talks going on, I think it shows good faith by him showing up and at least being there, right? Showing that he's willing to be there with the team and show up and be present. Like, I think that's a good thing. And I hope the Packers see it that way, too. I really do. I mean, and obviously for his teammates, too. They see that he wants to be there as well, and he's engaging with them and being around them. So I think smart decision by him.
I am curious, though, what you see as – and then I want to get into the fact that we finally saw Jordan Morgan start out with the number one offensive line at left tackle yesterday. Now, that could have happened in other OTA practices we didn't attend. But he got the first rep there yesterday for the first time that I've seen him. But before that, do you believe, because we're talking about this cap space, right? They have $46 million. They have now decided to take on, it's like the reverse post-June 1 cut. They would like to post-date the release of Jair to back in time so they're going to take on all of the dead cap money like they did with Rodgers when they traded him. And even when they do that, that's $17 million, I think, in cap space that they'll lose. So they'll go from 46 to 29 for this year. But they still have plenty of room to do something with Elgton Jenkins' contract. My question for you is, he's got 2 years left in it. I think they like the idea of if, despite Goody saying that he could be an all-pro center, this doesn't pan out. He's got this big number in 2026, and they could say, a deuces B, we'll play Jacob Monk there, or we'll move Zach Tom there. So I'm a little concerned, and again, recognizing our bias, all three of us are big Elgton Jenkins guys. We all think he's a really good player. We think he's a good dude. We think he belongs. He's a good leader in that locker room. He's got all the things that you want. Is it possible they'll say, hey, you know, you're not going to get anything close to what you're asking for. We'll throw you a small little milk bone, not like a big T-bone, and we'll do a little adjustment, but not a lot? You've gone through the negotiation process with this team. It is not as if they just want to give out free money willy-nilly.
Yeah, no, they don't want to give out free money. But the thing is, like, with him, I don't think you're giving out free money with him.
Existing money.
You're actually going to save money by doing it.
Yeah, I think you're going to save money. And, like, the guy's playing, right? Like, I mean, he's got 2 years left in the deal. He is playing, and he's obviously going to be playing to earn another deal because he's not, like, going to be done playing after this contract. He's still, I mean, obviously in Green Bay terms, he's old, but still around the league. he's still going to get another contract wherever it may be. So he's still playing for another deal. So like he is motivated to continue to play. So it's not like you're giving something away. I mean, you rework that number next year, that cap hit next year, and you're able to figure that out. I mean, that's beneficial for every side. Because, right, so now you get Elton under center, you know, or being the center for Jordan Love for 2 years. That benefits the entire offensive line. You get that continuity with that group for 2 years. Jordan Love gets that benefit of having Elton for 2 years. I mean, you can either figure out, do you need to draft a center, or is Monk the guy that you're going to replace, you know, Elton with in a couple years at center? And then you either stick with Elton or you move on, which obviously I would imagine with his age at that point, they would probably move on. So I think it's beneficial that they just figure this out now. And then in 2 years, you know, let the dust settle where it is. But like,
agreed.
I don't think like, because the way Green Bay's always done things, I understand like what this holdup is. And Homer keeps telling me the same thing too. He's like, they don't have to do anything. This is just the way they've always done it. And I'm like, well, I get it, but they always don't switch guys' positions when they're almost 30. Like that's
yeah,
just,
tell Homer
that's just not what they do.
Yeah, it's not 1985 anymore, dude. It's over. Like,
yeah.
This
yeah.
whole we have all this leverage. It is a different world now. I think had Elton played poorly last year and they were going to keep him there, that's a whole different story. They want to work this out. They need to work this out, and I think they will work this out prior to July 23rd or 24th, whatever day they report. It's going to get done, and I think it'll get done where both sides feel okay. Neither side feels awesome, would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's accurate.
All right, Brian, last thing for you. As I mentioned, Jordan Morgan getting the first team reps at left tackle yesterday. Scotty Wells, your former teammate, both of your former teammates, the former center was there, got to catch up with him a little bit. He, as Tausch mentioned yesterday when I saw him, he does stuff for the NFLPA. I believe, and I don't know this for certain because I didn't ask him, I believe he's there to make sure there's not too much contact, like a Jeff Saturday type of deal. And Matt LaFleur seems, dare I say, paranoid about there being too much contact and getting in trouble with the league and the NFLPA. So with all that said, these are obviously not padded practices or one-on-ones that Domofsky and Huber are keeping the stats on. But is there some significance to him not just being with the ones, because he's been with the ones before, but Jordan Morgan actually being the first one with the ones at left tackle? Or is that just, hey, it was his day?
I've never, I mean, and maybe it's been this, maybe Tausch had this, maybe, I mean, Campy was never this way, and maybe it was like this way for Tausch when he first kind of like, I've never had an O-line coach that said, it's your day today to be with the ones. It was never that way for us. Like, right? Like, if there was a competition, Campy was never like, hey, if there was a competition battle, it's your day today. You go ahead. It was whoever was in the driver's seat of that competition went out with the ones. That's the way it goes. Now, obviously, Butkus can and Steno and Matt can run this competition the way they want to do it, right? They can do whatever they want to do. They can drive it in any direction they want and go with whoever they want to start the drills with that. You know, I get it. But normally you don't just put guys out there for, you know, handouts. Like, you don't start someone out there just because it's their turn. Like, it doesn't happen that way. It's not Pop Warner. This is the NFL. Guys earn things or they're performing a certain way. Like, that, it's just the way it is. So is it like the biggest story in the world? Probably not. I think what I'll take as much bigger is when we roll out there in training camp day one, what it looks like, right?
Sure.
If it's like that in training camp day one, then I'll be like, well, I guess those last mini camp days did mean something. I guess that was a sign. You know what I mean? Like, I guess that we should have been paying attention to that more. But to me, it shows that they like what he's been doing in the OTAs that you guys haven't been able to see. And obviously, what's been leading up to the mini camp. So it shows something, obviously. And it's not that he's underperforming. We'll just put it that way. Right. It's not that he's underperforming.
They want Jordan Morgan to be the starting left tackle. The front office does. And I think they're going to get some pushback because Rashid Walker's played pretty good football. But let's not kid ourselves here. First-round picks get more opportunities than seventh-round picks and undrafted free agents. That is the reality. That's the economics of it. It is what it is. So Rashid Walker is going to have to outplay Jordan Morgan to keep his job. Period. Fin. And Jordan Morgan's got to stay healthy. They're not going to hand him that job. But I would bet they are angling and hoping that this goes a certain way and that Sheed still plays good football and could be a backup on both sides. I would bet I would not count, and that's why I was so shocked last offseason or last training camp when 2 days in, it's like, Sheed's up, he's going to right guard. Huh.
Yeah.
That was odd to me.
Yeah, look, we'll see what happens. I'll be out there. Hopefully they'll run some 11-on-11 before the show ends, and we'll see. Maybe today's Sheed's day. Maybe they are rotating days, right? I have not seen two consecutive days of practice yet this offseason. I've seen two OTAs separated by a week. So I will report back. Brian, I'll text you since you'll be off the show by now. I'll let you know what happens. But I am intrigued, and you're right. It doesn't really, really, really matter until we get to July 22nd. Brian, thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That is the great Brian Bulaga. He lends his insights every Wednesday and every day of the week, it seems. Tausch tells us about his love of Coors Light.
Oh, and you're at a ballpark. It's a beautiful, sunny day. You know what's great? Sitting back and cracking open a silver bullet, a Coors Light, and making sure those mountains on that wide mouth 16-ounce bottle are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. When I'm at a game, if I'm tailgating, whatever it may be, it will always be Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Jesse and Tausch are going to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. I'm going to head to Ray Nitschke Field. They'll play some trivia as well in the 10 o'clock hour. That's still ahead, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.